Well, here we are again tonight. How many excited about the Lord? Well, I tell you, we're learning more and more. How many know it's good to learn? We want to know more about what he says for us to do and what he wants for our life. And I'm not going to be able to cover the entire teaching, as some of this I taught last year, but you could get it. Go back over all these scripture. We'll cover as much as we can tonight. We're getting ready for Sukkot. And it's a wonderful time coming up. And I'll give more information on that on Sunday on Sukkot, so everybody's ready and prepared to know what to do and expect and so forth. But tonight we're finishing up. We just closed out, while we're doing worship, we closed out Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur starts in the evening to the evening of the next day. So we just closed it out. And I'm going to give you a few more pointers so you can prepare yourself better next year. How many want to be more prepared next year? So, and then we're learning. Remember, this is something that when you start looking at this stuff, you go, wow, why don't we do this all the time? Where was this at? Where is this missing? You see, feel like these missing parts. Well, God wants us to be practicing these things. He wants us to be looking at them. They're important to our lives. So I'm going to give you some more. And I stopped on face-to-face last night. And I didn't go very far. So there's about 150 slides in between this slide here and where I'm going to start tonight. So that's, you're going to have to take that up later. And I'd be glad to, whatever we have to do to get it, copy it to you. But there's no way to get through it all. But let me go back to this face-to-face. Where is it here? Where did I stop? There we go. 21. So I did 21 slides. I thought, my, I had to do more than that. But anyway, face-to-face. There's some of the things it's called. So let me go back up. Go to 16. The different names for Yom Kippur. Well, for sure one of them, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, face-to-face, the day of the day or great day. Why is it named these things? Because this is the most holiest day of the year. So I'm going to give you a list of things you want to get ready for next year. All right? We're going to get ready for next year. The Lord gives us next year, we want to be ready. So everybody get your pen and paper out. Let me give you a list of things you want to be ready for next year. Number one, you ought to take the whole day off. Okay? Don't do anything. So put in for a day off. We're going to book anything. We're not going to go anywhere. Take the whole day off. How many ready for that? Yes. All right, we take the whole day off. Next thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you humble yourself. The word is afflict, anah. I'm going to go over some of that later. But you want to anah. You want to afflict your soul, the nefesh. And we're going to cover that. So what you want to do, let me give you a short of it. You take the whole day off on Yom Kippur. When do you start your day off? The evening on the ninth. The ninth day. That evening, we're going to have service. So you're going to get a start. You're going to go home. And the next, you're going to go through the night. And the next day, the whole day, you don't need to do anything but humble yourself before the Lord. Pray, read. And if you're going to fast, it was called the fast, but it's not to get confused with fasting. Okay, I know that doesn't make sense. But it's not to be confused with fasting, because fasting could cover a variety of things. You can miss a meal, you could give up the internet, different things, right? Not this fast. This fast is giving up everything. So if you're going to do it as a fast, there'll be no food, no water, no phone, none of that. You can't just say, well, you know, I'm not going to drink no water. If you're not going to drink any water and use your phone, what's the point? It's a complete fast. It's the only day of the year he calls for that fast. The only day. One day. Who thinks we can give God one day of a complete humbling ourselves and afflicting our soul? That's what you ought to plan for next year. So in order to do it right, now you say, why would I want to do that? You know, I don't, is that getting into works? There's nothing to do with works. We know for by grace are we saved through faith. We know that. But this is There's nothing wrong with you humbling yourself before the Lord your God and acknowledging what Christ did for all of us. That's what it's for. So, sure, you're going to have people say, oh, brother, you got to watch that. You're going to get underneath, you know, the law and all that stuff. Well, I done heard it. I heard it. You know, it won't do you a bit of good. It won't do you no harm if you'll spend some time before the Lord. So it's basically nothing. Nothing at all. And, you know, I know there are going to be questions. What about this and what about that? Well, I can answer those questions when they come because I know people's going to have them. Well, what? But you're not to have any relations. No consumption of anything. It's a complete fast, called a complete fast. The only one day that you can apply that. Now, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to. But if you do, and you say, well, I'm just going to skip a meal, you're trying to incorporate fasting into this day, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit the way God established it. Okay? So that's just for next year. So the whole day off, no work. You don't I got a day off, I'm going to wash my car. Well, no. You're missing a point. Yeah. Right? Well, I got a day off and cut the grass. No, the thing is, do nothing. But think about God the whole day. Can anybody want to give me 24 hours where you're thinking about God? How awesome is that? Yeah. It's incredible. So that's what Yom Kippur really is thinking about the atoning, price paid, the cleansing. It's got so many wonderful things there. So, how many know we didn't get to do that this year, right? We're going to try it next year. Yeah. Can everybody do it? Yeah. You can if you want to put an effort for it to do it. You probably can, right? So think about it, pray about it, go read the scripture. I can tell you, he's going to tell you what he told me. You ought to try it. Yeah. It won't hurt you. So it's the day or the great day. The day or the great day. Should never be. There's not a more important day to you and I than Yom Kippur. Then it's called the fast. The question mark there is why I put that, right? Because it needs to be addressed. Because when you see fast, you say, wow, I can do that. I ain't eating breakfast today. But I'm going to hammer down on lunch and supper. It's the fast, not a fast. Okay? It's the fast. Not to be confused with anything else. The great shofar. The great shofar. Wow. The cleansing or the closing of the gate. So these are some of the things that covered last night. It's the most solemn day of the year. And what happens on the first Yom Kippur after the Exodus. We talked about that last night. And so I stopped on face to face. Face to face. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Yom Kippur is face to face, but it hadn't happened yet. For now we see through a mirror dimly. But one day, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? Can you imagine that day? You're going to have a face to face. Now, let me tell you, I do some marketing, right, for a home health company. So one of the papers that you get, so you know the rules. So they give me the rules. I'm looking, it says face-to-face on it. Well, I seen face-to-face. I'm familiar with them terms. So I'm sitting there talking, and he says, well, does everybody understand what face-to-face is? I said, I understand what it is. And what it is we can't admit a patient without them first seeing the doctor. Right? Well, the first time's a give me, we know that. But see, the government changed the rules on us because once the patient seen the doctor, and then the patient writes a home health order, our company goes and does the home health. Well, we see the patient. Then we want to continue to see the patient. So we research the patient. We readmit the patient, not to the hospital, but to the home health. Well, the government says you can't do that without a face-to-face, which means the patient has to go back to the doctor and get that order. Because what happened was in the field of home health, people were researching patients left and right with no control. So they might see that patient for 6 months and they don't need it to be seen for a month. So they, as long as they weren't getting caught, they were doing it. So the government comes in and says, you can't do that no more unless they have a face-to-face. And then there's a document. It's called the face-to-face. The doctor's signature has to be on. It's a one-page document. If he don't sign it, you can't research the patient. Why? Because they hadn't seen the doctor face-to-face. Can you imagine one day you're going to see the Savior face-to-face? How incredible that is. Now, why can't we do it now? And I hope everybody understands this and be patient with what I'm telling you. Because, you know, this gets on whether people saved or not. Well, I know I'm saved. Well, we know everybody, you saved. But you're not saved yet. Breaks on back up a little bit. Because you got to have your face to face. The atonement has to still happen for us. Now, we know we have it by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Without going through faith, you don't know what you have, because you got to trust what God said is yours before you have it in your hands. So, if I tell you it's okay to die in Christ, you're going to say, you sure? Right? Yeah, it's all right. It's okay, brother. Be at peace. You can die in Christ because you're going to raise from the dead. Same thing that Yeshua was talking to Jesus about. Lord, I want to make sure that you give to me the glory that I had. So, you know, we can mix that up with thinking that somewhere in eternity he had that glory. We need not be confused, because the Bible speaks of him being crucified before the foundations of the world. How's that possible? Nobody believes he was suspended somewhere in outer space hanging on a cross, do we? Yet the scripture says he was crucified before the foundations of the world. Where was that? I submit to you it was in the purpose and the plan of the Most High God. Christ has glory with the Most High God because he said he will not fail. Did he have that glory when he was going to the cross? Not yet. He returns in great glory. That's what he said. He returns in great glory. Because if he'd had that glory, they couldn't have put a nail in his hand. But y'all hear me? If he'd had that glory, they couldn't have, the whip would have never touched his back when they slung it. It bounced off. But he returns with great glory. So much glory that the false prophet and the Antichrist just fall dead. They destroys them. So that's what he was talking about. So I submit to you, we're going to get a face-to-face. And it's going to be incredible. It's powerful. So I want you to understand that. So I said I would cover face-to-face. For now, we look, see in a mirror dimly, but then face-to-face. Now I know in part, but then I would be known fully just as I also have been fully known. So keep that in mind. This is very important principles. Now, I have to skip on down all the way because I can't cover those tonight. It just won't happen. So let me see. I have to find a spot here. Go to let's go to 163. So I'm giving up some stuff here for this. 163. Now, Yom HaKippurim. Now, Kippurim is atonement, right? The atonements that happen. I touched a little bit on it last night. But let's read Leviticus again, what we read last night, and we're going to take a few more points out of that text. And then we'll close this part, get ready for another time with the Lord. So Leviticus 23, verse 26 through 34. And Yahweh spoken to Moses, saying, also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall afflict your souls. How many see that? Afflict your souls. And offer an offering made by fire. It's hard to tell with this font I use, but I highlight it. Afflict your souls. Hopefully you can see. It's a holy convocation. Afflict your souls. And offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And you shall do no work in that day, that same day. For it is a day of atonement. It's a day of atonement. To make an atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. Verse 29. For whatsoever soul it be that shall be not afflicted in that same day shall be cut off from among his people. So is he serious about afflicting the soul? Well, he is. He said, because if they're not, then they cut off from the people. It's kind of like, you don't have to. Because he says, for whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted. I'm sure there were people who were hard-headed. Look, we're not just living in hard-headed society today. Right? They were back then. He'd tell them to do and they wouldn't do. Today it's the same way. Nothing's changed. Nothing new under the sun. It just keeps repeating itself. It's just this generation. We can be humble. We can afflict our soul. We can be hard-headed. Either way, the consequences remain the same. Just like it was there, it remains the same today. Cut off from the people. Who wants to be cut off? I don't want to be cut off. Not at all. Right? And whatsoever soul it be that doth any work in the same day, the same soul will be destroyed from among his people. Who wants to be destroyed? I don't want to be. So you see how serious. Why is he doing this? Because this is a serious day. So he's just telling us, in this day, this is a serious time. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever. Well, he's just talking about in Israel. Let me finish reading. Throughout your generations, in all your dwellings. It's forever. Throughout your generations, in all your dwellings. If you're in Israel or in Buras. So there we go. How many see that? It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. So does he call it a Shabbat here? Yes. Is it a weekly Shabbat? No. This is a special day, a Shabbat. But he said, this shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. I'm going to bring that back up in later. It's not highlighted, but it'll be highlighted later. You shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening unto evening. I mean, this is very clear. When? From evening unto evening. Wow. Shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. How many ready for that? For 7 days unto Yahweh. And then we go 7 days, and then what happens on the eighth day? We should do what? Celebrate. Celebrate. Jesus, celebrate. How many remember that song? Man, you got to watch it around here. We'll pop out some not so old school. Right? Not so old. All right. Now, the words that we'll look at is Yom Kippur. Kippur or Kafir. Kafir, a primitive root to cover. What does it mean? To cover. Where do we see this word first? Well, we see it in the Genesis, right? He covered them or clothed them with the skin. We see it again when he says, make the ark and cover it, Kippur, cover it with pitch. It's all through the scripture. We see it. Why do you want it covered? Because you don't want what's in out and what's out in. That's why Yom Kippur is not just a, you know, I'm going to put it under the blood. Well, that's good. You can put it under the blood, but it's an atonement and a cleansing. Remember, two things happen during Yom Kippur. You get atoned for and you get cleansed. Very important. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I talked about it a little bit last night. Figuratively, to extirpate or condone, to placate or cancel, appease, make an atonement and cleansing. To cleanse, disannul, forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon. It goes on. And at the end, it's reconciling or reconciliation. This is what it means to do this. It's used all these different times throughout the scripture. Kafar, to cover, purge, make atonement, make reconciliation, cover over with pitch, to coat or cover with pitch, to cover over, pacify, propitiate, to cover over, atone for sin, make atonement for, to cover over, atone for sin in persons by legal rights, to cover over, to make atonement, to be covered. I think that covers everything. It's what God does. To understand atonement, we need to understand defilement. Right? You got to understand what defilement is. Now, we're going to understand atonement completely. We need to understand defilement. We need to see what is considered clean and what is considered unclean. How many want to understand atonement? Especially if you're going to take that day off, you want to go through this process. You got to understand what's defiled. What's a defilement? Let me just tell you. In the Most High God, there's no darkness at all. He's never been defiled, never will be defiled. Even though we are saved, we come from being sinners. And we still, after being saved, have transgressed the commandments of God. And sometimes we do things that's a defilement to the Most High that we got to make sure we think about. So I'm going to talk about this tonight. What's the thing that's unclean? And we talk about the sins being forgiven, but are we covering the stuff that's unclean when it comes to the Most High God? Very important. So we need to see what is considered clean and unclean. If coming to life in Messiah makes you clean, what are we really saying? If coming to life in Messiah makes you clean, what are we really saying? Look at that. Coming to life in Messiah makes you clean. What does that mean? Right? Because there's a difference between sins being forgiven and making you clean. The atonement is for both of them. Two things. Is being clean as simple as taking a bath to wash away outward appearance of dirt? It's a good question. Is being clean as simple as taking a bath to wash away outward appearance of dirt? Well, look at that. So these are some things that I want to take some time to consider. Look at this. All sin is uncleanness. Everybody say that. All sin is uncleanness, but not all uncleanness is sin. This is not one of them nights where I'm giving you confusion statements. It's a fast, but not a fast. It's unclean, but it's not unclean. Let me say it again. All sin is uncleanness, but not all uncleanness is sin. I'm going to talk about that. Let me give you an example. If you touch the rim of death, you are unclean. Is it sin? No. You just touched the rim of death. You're unclean. Numbers 19, verse 11, he that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Was he a sinner? No. But he was unclean. Could he approach the Most High? No. You think we need to know more about the atonement? Well, I feel like my heart's, you know, I'm good with the Lord. I ain't sinned today, I'm good. But you got some uncleanness, so when you try to go in, you're hitting that. Boom, you're bumping up against that wall. I'm going to show you tonight you can get that away. through the atonement. That's what it's about. You take that day and you say, oh, Lord, and nobody knows it better than you. Don't kid yourself. You know when you're hitting that wall, right? What is it? I know I'm checking my, I didn't do anything. I don't think I did anything. But there's some uncleanness that we got to work on. And we got to start thinking about that. And so he gives us a whole day to figure this thing out. What is it? It's not necessarily mean it's sin, but nonetheless, it's unclean. And the Yahweh, he can't allow it. Right? Now, he said, make atonement for the tabernacle. Can the tabernacle sin? Well, no, it's a tabernacle. It's like make atonement for the chair. Can the chair sin? No, it's a chair. Why did he say make atonement for it? Because it's unclean. Because somebody sat on that chair who transgressed. And God will never sit on that chair where transgression was unless you atone for it. Is that helping anybody? Is this helping you? He said, go in and make atonement for the tabernacle. Then you go in, you make atonement for you. You go in, you make atonement for your boys and your girls and your wife. You go in, you make atonement for the utensils. Has anybody read this stuff besides me? You make atonement for everything. He said, because you fooled with it, therefore it's unclean to me. Because when the kabod comes, the weight of God shows up. If it's unclean, he will crush it all. That's why I always say this. If God can die, the universe collapses. It's absolutely crazy to think that he could die. I don't know what can we be thinking, even think that. God's not dead. He's surely alive. Living on it. We have it on the radio. And we know he's not dead because he cannot die. It says he's the only one that has immortality eternally. Jesus was given immortality when he raised him from the dead. You'll be given that same immortality when you're raised from the dead. But God always existed, glory underived. Didn't need nobody to give him anything. He had it all. So can you understand when it comes to the point of God? See, because if we can diminish who God is to a 6-foot man, then we don't have to be clean, as clean. Because we're bringing him down to where we are so we can then communicate. That's not the way the scripture reads, but that's what I get told. Brother, 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 you don't understand. There's one God and there's one mediator. So we had to have a person who can be half God and half man. So one, he could put his hand on God and man and mediate. And I say, brother, no, brother, no, brother, you don't understand. We're going to let God be who he is. And we're going to let his precious son love him so much that he who knew no sin became sin, or the propitiation for our sin. And it pleased the Father so much that he gave him all authority and all power and glorified him. And he said, you can come up to me now because you proved that you love me. You kept my commandments. So you can come. It's not Jesus bringing God to man's level. It's Jesus bringing man to God. That's the whole thing of the scripture. If you read it, that's what the scripture teaches. But somehow we want to diminish God. And the more you diminish him, you don't have to deal with the unclean stuff. We don't mind preaching about the blood. But this is what he says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us move on to perfection. We're not doing that again. Somebody needs to get 3 days out from the cross and experience what it means to be resurrected with resurrection power. Somebody needs to get further down the road when they waited until the Holy Ghost came and the power from on high overshadowed them and the power came on them like a rushing mighty wind. We got to get over there. Somebody got to see him going up. Somebody got to do like Stephen did and said, I see him standing at the right hand of the Father. We got to get past that part. And the way you do it is by clean, 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 clean. How many want to stay clean? It's very important stuff. So how many see you can touch the realm of the dead and be unclean but not sin? You're just unclean for 7 days. Very, very critical. Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 8 through 11. And Yahweh spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. There was a reason for it. Because they had to go in, and they couldn't take that in with them. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Did that mean that nobody else could? Did that mean that everybody else in the camp couldn't? No, they couldn't. Because that would have made them unclean. Not sin, unclean. Now, the sin comes after the unclean because now you completely disobey what God told you to do. Then disobedience comes in. Watch what it says. Verse number 10 highlighted this, that ye may put the difference, let me see that, that ye may put the difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Let me see that. And how many know that that's the trouble that the world's in the church is kind of running in the forefront, letting it go by. We don't talk about what's clean and unclean anymore. What's the holy and the unholy. But yet that's what Yom Kippur is all about. It's all about the blood covering. We're covered, we're atoned for, but it's about the clean and the unclean. The holy and the unholy. And so this is what he's saying, that you may put the difference between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and the clean. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes that Yahweh has spoken unto them by the hands of Moses. Very important. How many of you know, if you're going to be in leadership, there are some things that other folks can do and you can't. Does that make it if they do it sin? No, but you can't. Well, that ain't fair. Well, it's just the way it is. Sit down and listen. If you want to get up and talk, there's some things you can not do. And you got to know what those things are. And God will tell you, believe me. You won't say, but ain't nobody told me. I'm going to show you how we can figure that out real quick in here in a little bit. What God really wants you to know. Ezekiel 44, listen to this. Verse 15 through 17 and verse 23. But the priests, the Levites of the sons of Zadok, now these were the righteous. When he talked about Zadok, go study that. Let me tell you. He's talking about the righteous ones. Zadok is the righteous ones. That kept the charge of my sanctuary. When the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith my sovereign Yahweh. Verse 16. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gate of the inner court, not the outer court. Remember we talked that song? We're going to enter in. There's different stages of entering in, and only certain people can go in certain places. There were a lot of priests, but not all priests could go in the inner court. There were a lot of priests in the inner court, but not all priests could go in the most holy of holies. How many understand that process? Outer court priest, inner court priest, and one priest for the holies of all. One. It's a big, why? Separating what's clean and unclean. They were clean for this job, but unclean for the other job. Wow. See, that's moments right there where somebody in the church ought to go, wow, we need to hear this stuff. This will help us. Watch what he says. If you're going to enter the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. Now, now we have a wardrobe change. Right? Linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them. Now watch how serious God is. While they minister in the gate of the inner court and within. So at the gate and within, they can only have the linen on. Watch this. Verse 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. That's why he's saying this. He said there are some things that you're going to teach the people what's holy and what's profane. You're going to teach them the difference between the unclean and the clean. Very, very important. Now, how many ever seen the pictures? You go online and Google the high priest, and he's got all the gizmos on, right? Got the breastplate and the turban, and he's all decked out. That don't go inside the holy place. That's for people to see, but God don't want to see nothing but white linen. Because you're getting out of that. They couldn't put the breastplate on. You know why? Because it would make them sweat. And sweat was not clean to God. You think God's serious? Get that stuff off. Don't put the wool on, because that will, you put the linen, the fine linen. And sometimes we come to God and we're what I call a wool worship. When he only takes linen worship. I didn't know that. That's why we're doing this. We're learning together. We're digging into scripture, finding out. Some people just want to do whatever they want. And that's how they act. They know the pastor knows it and everybody else knows it. You know, it's called wool worship. And God says, I don't want that. But it's nice. I'm talking about you can't outdo them. I mean, when anything remotely comes on that's Israeli sounding, I've been in all them services. Getting after it. But you ask him about some simple stuff, and their heart's not there. It's all decked out worship. It's got all the gizmos on, all the bells and whistles. But God says, get all that stuff off. Put the white linen on. Because if I see the least little spot, he's going to pick it up. You think God's serious? I'm talking about the Most High. He's serious. You can't bring him down here. If we're going to him, we got to make sure we go to him as he prescribes it. You know what? Because of what Christ done for all of us, he said we can wear the white. Hallelujah. How incredible that is.
Yes, amen.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you think that's now, then you're kidding yourself. We still getting through the clean and the unclean right now. We're still getting through it. We're headed to perfection. We're striving for perfection. But we're dealing with that still right now. How many can remember that time when you just had a good day? I mean, it was a good day. It was great. But you're looking at that good day and you say, man, but all of a sudden you get reminded of something in that wonderful good day you thought you just had. You go, except for this. If I could take this one thing out, it would have been a perfect day. That one thing was enough for you not to get in the holy place. That's how serious God is. See, sometimes we're not serious, but God's serious. He ain't going to diminish, because he sees like the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. He ain't going to diminish himself and say, I don't want the world to go to hell. It ain't his fault. He said, I would that none perish. That's what I would like. That's why we have these processes. Somebody said, man, I'm so glad we ain't underneath that Old Testament stuff anymore. Well, let me just help you out a little bit. You're under it through Christ. You don't get to go just because you got Christ. Then we got what's called greasy grace. Anything goes. Once saved, always saved. You know, you can high five and highball it. And it's okay because I'm going to church Sunday. Oh, I'm sending prayers. Sending. And we think, well, God's okay, you know. Can you ever listen to some people, how they talk about God? Like he's some companion or friend or... They have no concept of the Most High God. You don't talk about God that way. Don't get him down on you. Well, you know, I'm so glad, you know, I had a little talk with the Lord. You did. Well, he should have slapped that out your hand. Can y'all tell I'm having fun? Don't give me a whole day to humble myself. I might come up with something. Atonement was not just for
sin.
It was to make you clean. Now, how many know what they did? He said, kill the bullock, right? Put the blood on your thumb and the big toe. All this, you go, wow, what is all that? Well, thank you, God, for Yeshua HaMashiach, who did that for us. But what is the point? What if we thank him for that, but we still come before the Lord any kind of way we want? Hard attitude, all squirrely, all messed up. That's not right. And you can feel it. I felt it. I can't tell you. The worst feeling to me in the world is when you go boom. He's in over there and you're on this side. There ain't no worse a feeling than that. I hate even the moment when you think that's about to happen. When you feel like that's about to happen, I can't stand that moment. And then, boy, when that comes, you go, Lord, but is that it? No. Just, you can come from the inner court and get inside. Outside the gate, you start with the linen, but you go inward. You're there, and you're going to feel the difference. You're going to feel the difference, but that's not the holiest of all. Remember that. Somebody said, well, no, that's what I want. That's what we're striving for. Take me in. Take me in. Well, I can tell you, nobody is going in unless they get taken in by Yeshua HaMashiach. Nobody. He said, nobody can go to the Father but by me. Isn't that something? All right, Leviticus 16, verse 16. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now watch this. And because their transgression and all their sins. Oh, he's making atonement for what? The uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgression and all their sins. Atonement is not just for sin. It's for the unclean and for sin. Let me see that. I want you to get a different picture of that because I want the whole price that was paid by Yeshua HaMashiach to make sense to you, the whole thing. Now watch this. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. In the midst of their uncleanness. See that. Leviticus 14, verse 19. The unclean, the cleansing, rather, of the leper. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. So he's going to do something for cleansing, the atoning is the cleansing, and then he kills the burnt offering for the sin. The cleansing of the leper. Think about Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. Think about that. It's very powerful because that's when the lepers, if you want to turn there real quick, I don't have it on the slide, so we'll look at it. 17, verse 11, he says this, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers. I touched on this just kind of briefly last night. Just kind of spoke it and went on. Which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Now something happened that shook them up. Because they've been told this before. This is not the first time that somebody said, look, you're a leper, there's a process. You go to the what? Priest and show yourself. He'll do atonement for your being clean. But there was no miracle. Were they unclean because of their sin? No, no. Listen, they were lepers. They didn't have to have a sin. They were lepers. They had a disease. And it was required by law. They had to go show themselves to expose themselves. Because most lepers would cover themselves up with a lot of covering, right? What does that talk about last night? Self-atonement is a disaster. When a person thinks they can, I got this. Right? Like Adam and Eve. They sold fig leaves together, covered themselves. But that's not going to work, because God said that. You think that's going to work? You can't atone for yourself. Somebody's got to cover for you. And there's no atonement without the blood. Right? How much blood you get out of fig leaves? The only thing you get out of fig leaf is a rash. Right? So he said, that won't work. I got to cover you. So he kills the animal and coats them. Can you imagine being wrapped in a skin of an animal? Still hot with the blood. So you remember, never forget. You're the reason that this animal died. Sometimes we forget. We're going through life and we forget that we're the reason that Yeshua HaMashiach went to the cross. So because of the world's sins, which I'm a part of, which I transgress, mine, my sin, my iniquities. I did that. Nobody forced me. That was by my own free will. And I'm thankful every day. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you so much that you was willing to take it for me. And we ought to have deepest respect and gratitude for that. So these lepers, on their way to the priest, they go, wow. They have one of their wow moments, right? They're clean. And when he said, go show yourself to the priest, they went and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, what did he saw? Now, did Jesus say, go and be healed? Never. He said, you're clean.
That's it.
He said, you're clean. He realized, I'm healed. He turns around, right? And he saw that he was healed. He turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified Elohim. With a loud voice, he glorified Elohim. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Yeshua answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? There were 10 cleansed. But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to Elohim. What he returns for? To give glory to Elohim. Save this stranger. Why did he call him a stranger? Because 1 out of the 10 was a Samaritan, the rest were from the Israelite clan. One stranger. That's what he called him, a stranger. Sort of like that stranger at the well, that woman. Something about the Samaritans that he's attached to. You know why? Because they're connected to the lost tribes. And he said, I come for the lost sheep. This stranger. Wow. There's a message in all of these. You can just go on and on and on and on. And the last verse, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. The word whole there is a very important word, because it's to be put back in a position as if whatever you was ailing you never happened. Isn't that incredible? So, thank you, Lord. Just a couple more and we're going to be done. Leviticus 15, verse 28 through 30. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. Cleansed from her issue, speaking of a woman in the menstruation. And on the 8th day, she shall take unto her 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, and bring them unto the priest to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for her before Yahweh for the issue of her uncleanness. Was she a sinner? No. But could she go in the tabernacle? No. See, she wasn't allowed in. Why? Uncleanness. How many see that? That's why atonement is important. And I submit to you, it's not the continual sin that separates a lot of people and gets them in a state of, I don't know what to do. It's their failure to deal with the uncleanness on a weekly basis. So you start feeling bad about it. Then you feel so bad, you just give in to the sin that you used to do. You're going to be unclean before you sin. Because that's the road you get on that brings you back to where you come from. But if you constantly going before the Lord on a daily basis, dealing with the uncleanness, because that's the way it is. You know that that price that Christ paid for you is available all the time. Not just on a one day deal, but this is what they had to deal with. This was a serious day to them. So I hope that you see this. Matthew chapter 9. There's a woman that talks about here. She was dealing with this issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. I never saw this before. But I saw it just looking at that this week. She was 12 years separated from the tabernacle. She was 12 years from being able to go to church. Forget the fact that she was tired of going to doctors. Forget the fact that she was just tired of bleeding every day. She was exhausted because she couldn't get where she wanted to go. But she said, today, somebody needs to have a today moment. In verse number 20, is this helping anybody? Let's look at verse 18. I'll read on down, but I got 20 to 22. That's the main verse. While he was speaking these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Yeshua rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, now he's on his way to a very important meeting. What kind of meeting? A raise the dead meeting. That's important to me, right? Some folks have all kinds of meetings, but this one's important. It's a raise the dead meeting. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Think about that. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be healed. No. Whole. I shall be whole. How many see that? But Yeshua turned him about it. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. I don't know about you, but that's a wow. I want to shout right now moment, because according to the law, if you had the issue, which you had, women have the issue, and they're going to have to be clean after every issue, they had to go with two turtle doves or two pigeons, and they processed. This process went on and on and on. And there was a reason, because they couldn't go back and congregate with the rest of the people in worship. I don't know about you, but somebody who loves the Lord and they've been held at bay for 12 years. But deep down inside, she said, I gotta worship today. Somebody gotta get a today moment that'll hit you and you say, today is the day. I won't go another day. I'm going to get my worship on today. Yes. Today is it. And that's what she did. She thought in herself, she says, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going to risk everything. And if he's the one that I keep hearing people talk about, my goal is to get to the Father. You got to understand this point. For 12 years, she'd been prevented to get to the Father. To her, the Father meant a lot. She said, if he's the one, the Mashiach, then he's got the anointing on him to get me in. And if I can just get close enough, I don't have to hug him. I don't have to have him hit me with his hand. I don't have to be knocked out. If I can just bump the hem of his garment, he's going to give me access to the Father. 12 years. Think about that. You say, wow, why would anybody? I want to submit to you today. I know people. It's been that long since they had any kind of desire or pursuit to get to the Father. And that's crazy to me. Do you understand that? Who wants to spend 12 years of their life going through the motions? Can't hardly get out of their way on a daily basis. They're so frustrated. Every single day they're frustrated. They go to bed frustrated, wake up frustrated, go to bed mad, wake up mad. There's something wrong with that. You hadn't had a Father encounter in a long time, and folks have been doing that for years. You a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You have no idea. You have no idea how you've been being beat by the enemy because you won't have a today moment when you get tired of it. How many remember that day when you got enough? You knew it. Ain't nobody can preach to you any more than you've been preached to. You done heard it all, but boy, you figured out that day, this is it. I'm going, and you know you can't go because you just think it's a good idea. You got to be brought to the Father, and when she touched that garment, he got her there. He said, you're made whole today. Whole means what she felt, it was like she never missed a day when she got there, made whole. Not the blood dried up, the healing. We're not talking about a healing. Healing was the residual effect of her walking in to the Father's place through Yeshua HaMashiach. That's powerful. That's atonement. That's the covering the sin and cleansing power of atonement. I hope we see both of them. I didn't get into this last year. I told you, you could study this your entire life. You're going to see more and more and more. It's so powerful. I didn't get into that last year. Luke 9:24. For whoso will save his life shall lose it. How many know people like that? I'm good. I'm good. They're saving their own life. What he says is going to happen. They're going to lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. What was she risking? Her life. She was willing to lose her life that day. But what happened? Saved it. Saved it. Some people are going to save their own life. Go on and get, you know. Folks are sitting home right now just knitting those fig leaves. Save your own life. You know what will happen? You'll lose it. Proverbs 20. You ready for this one? Proverbs is incredible. Sometimes I go through spells while I do Proverbs, and I just do Proverbs because the way it falls, you can do one a month, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. So start on the first. And do chapter 1, chapter 2, and go through it. And just do that a couple times. Cycle through. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Ready for this? Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sins. Who? Who can say that? You made your heart clean? Really? I'm good. How many have had the I'm good thrown up at you? You want it? Pick up a hitchhiker. So you get in the car, right? You go, how you doing? And you don't know, right? Hey, it's a good day. Man, God's good. Yeah. I'm a godly person. I'm religious. You know what that means, huh? I'm good. Don't talk to me no more. Right? Wow. Who can say I have made my heart clean? Am I pure? I am pure from my sins. We have no, there's no authority that we can do that ourselves. 1 John chapter number 1, verse 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And what we got to do first before the and happen? I'll read that again, right? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Yeshua, Messiah, his son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Right? How do you get your sins forgiven? Confess those sins. What happens? They're covered by the blood. And, underline and, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me see that. So the covering of the blood is the cover and the cleanse. Very important. Let me just tell you this. Ready for this? This will help you. Anybody's ever been praying for a healing, two things has got to happen for healing. Number one, they got to cover the sin if there's any. Number two, you might just have to deal with some unclean issues. That's it. Cover that. Make sure you cover that. And let the miracle come. The woman that had the issue, what did she deal with first? She dealt with her unclean issue. Because she was unclean, she didn't have any right to even be in the crowd. But that day, she had a today moment, and she said, today, I'm going to deal with this unclean issue. Because I'm going to lose my life. Could they have stoned her? Absolutely. You can't be here. What are you doing? You're getting everybody messed up. Now we all got to go show ourselves to the priest. I don't care. I'm going to have my today moment. But when she touched his garment, that issue went away, and then they dealt with making her whole. See? Deal with the unclean. And remember, it's attached to faith. That's why without faith, you can't please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. Now, and he shall do no work on that same day. I'm reading these verses I read earlier, but I want to get down to 32. Verse 32. And it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. Let me see that. And you shall afflict your soul. I'm going to talk about that for a little while, then we'll close. In the ninth day of the month, at the evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Shabbat or Sabbath. Afflict the soul. Let's cover that really quick. Two more slides and we're going to be going. The word afflict is anah. Anah. It's through the idea of looking down or browbeating. Browbeating. Looking down. How many ever said something that was kind of out of time and then you went, why'd I do that? Huh? I shouldn't even give you all this information because I feel somebody's going to use this by the Holy Spirit to get on to somebody this week. They might say, you need a browbeating. Abase yourself. Base self. Abase self. Afflict, chasten self, deal hardly with. I always use these terms. Judge yourself rightly. Don't let you get by with it. What do? Deal hardly with it, not hardly deal with it. Did that help anybody? Yes. Deal hardly with it, not hardly deal with it. That's what we get stuck in. The reason why we got our week going the week is going because we hardly deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Let somebody else deal with it. But that's not what happens on Yom Kippur. You know what he says do that day? You deal hardly with it. Get down to the bottom of it. Get your head down, beat your, do something, but get down to it. Let me tell you why it's that serious. Because some folks won't live long if they don't get down to it. You know how many people in life has got to a point where it was no, there was no getting around it. If they didn't do something, they were going to die. That's how you get your today moment. If you don't do something about it, you're going to die. You say, that's it. And let me tell you, there's people that don't even profess to be Christians do that kind of stuff. You can watch this all over. It's got inspirational stories. I'm not here to try to inspire you. I'm here to tell you that this is what you can do. You got to get down to it. Deal with it. Have a today moment. Deal heartily with it. Say, okay, today is the day. I'm not doing this another day. And you can get it done. I know people that I've met and they went to the doctor. They're not Christians. These are just people that I know over the years. And Charlotte's dad, he smoked for years, like since he was like a teenager. And there came a day in his life that the report from the doctor wasn't so good. He said, you're not doing good. And you know what he did? He said, that's it. Today is the day. And he dealt hardly with it. Now, he's not. I'm talking about using the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about any of that. Just the fact that he's had enough. He ain't never smoked. So don't tell me, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the price Yeshua paid, that you can't deal with it. The reason we don't is because we want somebody else to do it. We want to bring a preacher in, an evangelist in, let them call us out, lay hands on us, and we want to go home and we want to be spick and span. Well, let me tell you, it took you years to get in that mindset, and it's going to take more than just a little wind to clean you up. You got to deal hardly with it. Sometimes you got to get a scrub pad. How many of you ever had to get a scrub pad on a pot? And you go to work on that thing. I ain't seen nobody can make a pot shine better than Sister Felicia. My God, we were taking the pot, putting it in the trash can. And she said, oh, what's that? What's that right there? What's that? 3 hours later, she said, look at this thing. It was shining. She did hardly with that pot. I went home, my hands were hurting. I'll get it out. Give me that. Give me that. I'll get it out. She's determined to get it out. We don't throw it away. We'll buy another one. But let me tell you what you can't buy another one. You're all you got. You can't buy another one of you. So what you got to do, you got to deal hardly with it. You got to say, today is the day. And that's what atonement's all about. Atonement gets me excited. It makes me realize, you know what? He didn't just die on a cross for me. He cleansed me of all unrighteousness. And to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, it had to be something that he had to work on. You start thinking about the agony and the pain and the suffering that he went through. He was dealing hardly with it. It wasn't nothing easy about what Yeshua did. And it's not going to be nothing easy about what you and I got to do. You know what we want? We want to show me where the get saved meeting is, because that's all I want. Raise your hand. Close your eyes. Everybody, no looking around. Raise your hand. I see that hand. Bless them, Lord. They're in the kingdom. Yeah. Keep telling people that. Keep telling them you ain't scrubbed nothing out of their life. You might have dealt with the covering them, but that's about it. What about the uncleanness? And you know what happens? The moment they go home from that get saved meeting, the devil comes and says, you're nothing and you're never going to be nothing and you're nobody. Look at all them marks on you. Look at all them stains on you. Look at all the stuff that's on you. Know what you got to do? You got to have somebody say, hey, don't listen to Satan. I'm going to tell you, you know how you get rid of it? You deal hardly with it. Get you a today moment. Your life will change forever. That's what has to happen. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to pop. Who wants to deal hardly with it and quit hardly dealing with it? Anybody? So next time you run into somebody and they're struggling, tell them, you know why? You hardly dealing with it. Don't show your hand, but just kind of agree with me. Do you know anybody who hardly deals with anything? You think it's just going to pop out the sky and everything's going to be all right? There she is. She had that issue for 12 years. Don't come by me. You keep your distance. She said, not today. Not today. I'm going to dig through. I'm getting through this crowd. I don't care how many people they got here. She's bumping into people. And she's interfering with a very important meeting. A raise the dead meeting. Never forget that. He's on his way to get somebody life again. And she says, today is my day that I'm going to deal hardly with this thing. I'm not going to do it another day. She was risking her life to save it. How many want to do that? The next word, affliction. That was affliction. Nefesh, or the soul. Nefesh. What is nefesh? It's anything that breathes. Doesn't mean it's a human. Could be something that breathes. Properly, a breathing creature. Animal. Vitality. Used very widely in the literal, accommodation, figurative sense, bodily or mental. You ready for this? Any appetite. Any appetite. Beast, body, breath, creature. Any appetite. That's what I want to deal with. So if you afflict your soul, your soul, what does that mean? Any appetite. Who's got different appetites? So we got different appetites. Some people like to do this, other folks don't like it. Right? And that's their appetite. So the way the Lord sets it up is he don't have to be very specific on what you should or shouldn't do. What he says is you could, any appetite. During Yom Kippur, you should annih yourself of any appetite. Any appetite. So whatever you like to do the best, whatever your favorite is, if you still doing that on Yom Kippur, you didn't afflict your soul in the proper manner that he's requiring you to do. And that should be something like a rule. It's not just because we're under what Christ did. You could do this on occasion. It's a good practice on occasion. Just don't, you know what? You might have a day off. Maybe you want to spend that day in anah than nefesh. One day. Maybe you want to practice that between now and the next Yom Kippur. I would hate to think that nobody does it for the whole year until we got Yom Kippur again. You can practice. You know, you say today, you know what? I'm a fast today. I'm going to deny everything. And I'm not, but here's the thing. Then if you deny water and food and all that, you can get through that. You know, anybody, you got strong will, you know, you might feel a little bit, but you're good. But then you don't have your phone. You don't get on the internet. You don't FaceTime. You don't Facebook. You understand? You don't do anything. Any appetite. And you just spend that time with the Lord. That's true Yom Kippur. That's solid Yom Kippur. Let me tell you. I'm going to tell you this. Nobody who does it for that day comes out that day the same. You're not going to come out the same. I'm telling you. You're going to be a rung up on the ladder. You're going to go from faith to faith. And never forget, you're going to go from glory to glory. You take that time for the Lord. So make it a practice. Set it for you. Don't say, well, I wonder who else. Don't worry about anybody else. Pick a day. Pick any day. And say, you know what? Today, that's what I'm doing. And set your time. Stay within that parameter. And watch what God will do for you. Be absolutely amazing. So my prayer is that this Yom Kippur, that we took some time, spent time together, we made some reflections on some things, and hopefully this word has helped you. I tell you what, I can't even tell you how much it's helped me. Because I'm trying to find words to try to explain what I feel on the inside, and I can't find them. And then the Lord will come along and either have somebody or someone or scripture that He'll point out. You write it down. It's all important. You don't know when it's for, but you write it down, write it down, write it down. All of a sudden, He'll put it all together. And if you do your due diligence, He'll give you the other words to add to it. Those other words will add to it. They'll come by Holy Spirit. And so hopefully that this has been a ministry to you and has helped you, and we can go on and grow in the Lord. So who's going to help? Who's going to deal with being covered and the uncleanness? Two things. And then we're going to anah, afflict, the anah and the soul, the nefesh. It's not what other people miss out on. It's what you anah yourself to do. Humble yourself before the Lord your God. So, wow. This is a great time. I appreciate it. Today's Friday. Okay. Man. Y'all, tough crowd. Tomorrow's Saturday. And we have, that's what I was getting at. So, tomorrow's Saturday, we have Torah portion. And then, we've been in church. Right? We have been in church. Starting with Yom Teruah. We did that whole week, and then this week, and then you have Sukkot coming. Now, remember, Sukkot, every day of Sukkot, you need to spend time with your family. Family time. Everybody say, hallelujah, family time. Family time. If you're going to put a tent up, you're going to do that, start getting your stuff together and put it up. Oh, man, that's kind of out there, huh? You put trees up for a long time. Don't talk about me about out there. I've been practicing on that one. I'm afraid I got to use it soon. So don't talk about what you've been. So if you want to put one up in your yard, put one up and go out and sit on it. Just do your coffee and read in your Bible underneath it. Somebody come by and say, what is that? We Sukkot. You do what? Well, sit right here. Let me tell you about it. Huh? So I encourage you to. Doesn't mean you don't have to. I'm just encouraging to. Don't be. Put one up. Brother Herman had one up. I think he had the first one up in Burris. We did everything else. You put manger scenes up. So don't tell me you don't put nothing in your yard. You put manger scenes up, lid your house up so everybody see it. So, this is just, I'm not telling you to go sleep in it. You can if you want. But I'm telling you, don't be afraid to put something up and decorate it so people come by and see it in your front yard. They're going to go, what is that? Look online. They got all sorts of help online. They show you. They got things, all got the dimensions and all. You buy the PVC, put it all together. Easy. So, if you want to put one up, put it up. All right? Boy, you've been in here saying, don't say that. Them women are going to be out there. Cut me some trees. Give me some palmettos. Oh, boy. Anyway, it's something simple. If you'd like to do it, I encourage all of you to do it. Amen? Put one in the front yard. Glory to God. I guess me and Philip, we're going to get our stuff together and just put one right, bam, in the front yard. Right there. With some nice fabric over it, and go out there and just sit in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. Amen? Put your table out there. Go eat something unneeded. Spend some time together. All right? Well, I love you. I appreciate you. We'll see you for the Torah portion. God bless you.